Southampton's Voice.
Voice FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. From startups to established companies and everything in between, I'll be bringing you a variety of guests from the incredible Southampton business community. And I'm really excited because today I'm in the studio with none other than Naomi Stonier, marriage and life coach. Naomi, how are you doing?
Hey, Matt. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, you're more than welcome. How are you doing today?
I'm fabulous. Really excited to be here.
Excellent. Well, I'm really looking forward to unpacking the show. It's a really interesting business. The career that you're in is really interesting. So let's kick off, shall we?
Absolutely.
So I'm curious, and no doubt the listeners will be too, what is a marriage and life coach? Let's start there, shall we?
Absolutely. Well, Matt, I am teaching the skills that your parents didn't model for you that make your married and family life a hell of a lot healthier and happier.
Interesting. Tell us more.
So do you want to know what the skills are?
Yeah, let's go for it. Yeah, absolutely.
So, this is life coaching for marriage. And what I am teaching is the simple emotional awareness, emotional regulation skills, and awareness of your generational bad habits. You know, when I say these are the skills your parents didn't teach you, didn't model for you, you know, it's a jokey way of explaining and normalizing the fact that nobody teaches us the simple skills that makes our relationships a hell of a lot easier. And so the bad habits just flow down the generations forever. It's no one person's fault. It's a very normal, neutral thing when you normalize it. And when you learn the simple skills, boy, does it make your relationships a hell of a lot easier.
Absolutely. And you've been doing this now for how long?
I've been doing it for 4 years now.
Okay. And did the career choose you, or did you choose the career? How on earth did you get into this?
Well, it absolutely chose me. This is my journey. I got coached on my relationships. I was the only one to get coached. No one in my family got coached. And when I changed how I was showing up, everybody responded to me. So it was a really amazing thing for me. You know, we're doing a dance in marriage. We're doing a dance of respond and react. And no matter how thin you slice it, there's always two sides. Mm. And when you get into awareness of your side, how you're creating your emotions and, you know, the generational bad habits you picked up, you change the dance and it has an influence on the marriage. And what was so amazing for me was that the benefit of this work for me outside of my marriage and my parenting and my wider family, you know, it really improved every area of my life because I started to feel so much better. And that saved me a lot of time and it created a lot of energy and it created a lot of confidence. And I was one of those people where I was hiding in the workplace. I wasn't going for promotion. You know, it was difficult for me. And when I learned these simple skills, that all changed. I got a lot more confident. I never imagined I'd be sat in front of you today, Matt, talking about my business in this way.
Oh, it's crazy, isn't it? So, I mean, and it's interesting, isn't it? Because the sort of marriage coaching that you yourself received, you were effectively your own first client in a way.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Let's delve into emotional intelligence, should I say. Yeah. What is it?
Okay, well, I don't know if anyone's ever explained this to you. When it was first said to me, it absolutely blew my mind.
Is it like a light bulb moment?
Yes. And this is the light bulb moment. Other people can't create your emotions. Okay, so we are not taught this. Okay, we're taught that emotions happen to us. So if you think about it, you say or do something and I feel something. So of course I think you've made me feel like that. Okay, but that isn't actually the case. We create emotion. Okay, we focus on something, we use a certain kind of language, and then we hold our body, we do something with our body. Think about it. You hold yourself very differently when you're happy to when you're sad.
That's true, actually, yeah.
And you just put those three things together and you run a pattern and you do it for decades and it's like a reflex. You don't even realize you're doing it. It happens so quickly. So when you learn that pattern you're running, you learn to nip it in the bud, choose something else, life becomes a very different place.
And it's one of those things where actually being aware of it is almost like the first step.
Yeah. Awareness is all you need. So awareness, and of course, we're not taught to do it. So learning awareness.
Yeah, there's no handbook, is there? There's no playbook when you know, either from parenting or when you're growing up.
Well, hopefully one day this will be a subject at school.
Oh, yeah? Wow. Yeah. You're going to be an advocate for that.
Absolutely. I mean, this is my passion of creating a community, a movement of people learning these simple skills. You know, they transform your life. You leave a legacy of new, better habits for the next generation. Yeah, we don't have to keep passing this on. So, yeah, when you learn this, you will use it everywhere. And it's simple stuff to learn.
When do people typically get in contact with, you know, someone like yourself? Has the marriage kind of like completely broken down, or, you know, how does it, when do people usually?
People are at all stages, to be honest, and they're coming for all sorts of reasons. They're coming to me for marriage. They're coming to me with wider family issues. Maybe they want to get into a relationship. But, you know, how I help people, you know, for me, my journey personally, I love couples therapy. It's so good. But the sad truth is that a lot of people never get there. So for me personally, couples therapy was too overwhelming. The thought of sitting in a therapist's office with my partner, oh, no way. So, and then you have the other problem that one partner wants to go, the other doesn't. So what I'm always marketing to people, and, you know, we're going to talk about that, the marketing is, listen, you can get started right now. You don't have to wait for your partner. You don't have to try and get them to couples therapy. We can just get started right now. Just one person leading the way will have a major impact on the whole family.
And of course, you've seen it from your own personal experience, because
Yeah, and the hundreds of clients that I've now taught, you know, helped walk this path.
Unbelievable. Yeah, and we're going to be delving into some of the different scenarios that you faced, obviously not naming any names, but no doubt some of the listeners might be able to relate to some of these situations. And I think it's really important for people to sort of, you know, hear that and to think, well, actually, yeah, there is light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, there are common themes, Matt. It's we all think we're secretly suffering and only I am doing this. No,
that's not the case.
It's just human.
Completely. So you mentioned earlier about the kind of emotional intelligence. When we were chatting earlier in the week, you mentioned belief systems.
Yes.
And how they can be quite pivotal in you know, not just your life coaching, but your marriage coaching as well. Do you want to delve into a little bit of that?
Absolutely. So when I joke about the generational bad habits, what I am explaining there in shorthand is that we are sponges soaking in our environment from the first moment, okay? Mm. And from this, you create a system of beliefs. The most incredible thing about it is most of this system, it's like an operating system, like your computer runs on. Most of it, you're completely unaware of, okay? So my operating system doesn't match yours. In fact, they clash. Yeah, I've got all these rules and values and beliefs that feel like the truth to me. They feel like a fact, just the way they should be. They're not, they're just my opinion. Mine clashes with yours. We have misunderstanding, miscommunication, and we don't understand. And you know, it's much easier to have awareness of somebody else's belief system. So take your partner. You'll be able to see what they inherited from their family, like stuff they do that might not be so helpful that they got off their mum and dad. Much harder to see awareness of yourself. And you know this, Matt, under pressure, even the stuff you promised you'd never do shows up and you won't be aware that it's showing up.
Yeah, yeah. And you're like, oh, this is history repeating itself.
Yeah.
Or... Yeah. Yeah. I suppose a lot of what you do, it's about emotional management, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. It's mindset work. It's just being able to, in the moment, it's very human to focus on what's in front of you. So, you know, let's take it to something really simple, the traffic jam.
Yeah.
How does the traffic jam can't create your emotions. You're creating a pattern. The weather. Oh my God, I used to be so depressed all winter long. I used to, the moment the summer went, I said, that's it, I can't enjoy myself. And in a country like UK, I was setting myself up to not enjoy myself 6 months of the year. So I just, you know, learned to understand the pattern I was running about the weather, let alone my husband.
Yeah, absolutely. It's strange, isn't it, how we let the weather dictate our mood?
Yeah, it's amazing.
I watched something online, I don't know, it was a video, and the chap said, you know, it's sunny on the inside. And I thought, yeah. Do you know what? When it rains now, I think, you know, actually, let's not let it affect how we feel.
Yeah.
In your experience, you know, if someone's maybe going through some challenges in their life or in their marriage or in their, you know, in their personal circumstances, does that, can that have a knock-on effect in terms of, you know, for instance, if they run their own business?
Oh, absolutely. Whatever you are struggling with, you learnt it in your personal relationships. So I love working with entrepreneurs. I work mainly with entrepreneurs. That's why I'm on the show. And I always, because it are personal relationships are the scariest place, okay? Much easier to be in business, going for it in business, or like, you know, in your social life or your health. You know, we all want to avoid the personal relationships, but always explain to the entrepreneurs, you clean up that stuff in your personal relationships, your business will fly. So whatever you're struggling with in life, you learnt it in your personal relationships.
Yeah, sure. I just want to touch on the fact that not only are do you have obviously personal experience of going through this coaching, and you've really sort of seen the impact and the difference it can make in your personal life, but you do invest a lot in yourself.
Oh, yes.
You've spent a lot of money on training.
Yeah.
And it's something that you're always keeping the tool set nice and sharp, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely.
How important is that for you?
Oh, yeah. I can't ask anyone else to invest in themselves if I don't invest in myself. So we are not taught to invest in ourselves.
No,
exactly. So, you know, a holiday, a nice car, you know, a car upgrade, you know, you're taught to, you know, do up the kitchen. But when, you know, it's expensive to feel sad, to feel depressed, to feel alone in your marriage, to be spinning in your business feeling awful. It's really expensive, okay? You spend on food, you spend on, you drink, you spend on clothes and trinkets, yeah? It's expensive trying to make yourself feel better. When you know how to manage your mind, life is so much cheaper. So for me, it's an investment that has great returns. You know, I'm always telling people, you invest in a marriage coach and you're going to get the results that will pay out for the rest of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah?
And your children's lives.
Well, that sounds like a good return on investment.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Could you see yourself doing anything else?
No, never. I will do this for life. I am passionate about leaving a legacy for the next generation. It's something I feel very strongly about. It's no one person's fault, but this is so simple to solve. This, you know, what gets passed down the generations, it doesn't have to be this way. It's so simple to solve this stuff.
Absolutely. Well, look, hold that thought. We're going to take a little short break. We've got some ads. We've got a bit of music coming up. And then in part two, me and Amy are going to be talking about some of the scenarios that you've encountered along the way and some of the types of people that you've helped, you know, go through these challenges and almost sort of break through the brick wall to, you know, quite an inspirational effect, I would say. So anyway, watch this space. We'll be back right after this.
Voice FM.
You name it, we'll collect it.
So a bed?
Yep.
A sofa?
Yep.
All right, what about a shed?
Yes.
So anything?
Everything non-hazardous.
Hi there, I'm Steve.
And I'm Woody.
And we're the co-founders of Ethiclear.
We collect waste and clear houses.
And we do it ethically.
Because if your waste is good enough to be used again,
we'll make sure it is.
As Ethiclear has a network of like-minded people around Southampton.
So for anything
of almost any size
that you can't shift,
book your clearance at ethiclear.co.uk.
So I got a home office in the garden, and in the spring and the autumn it's perfect. But in the middle of winter and summer, it's not fun. The heater costs a fortune when it's cold outside, and in the summer, opening the windows just isn't enough. Which is why I got Just Coolers to install a small air conditioning unit. It keeps me cool in the summer and warm in the winter. It's the most cost-effective way of doing it. And with a 5-year guarantee and prices from $799, what's not to like? For your free quote, just visit just-coolers.com and keep your home office just right.
Voice FM.
Naomi, how are you doing?
I am fabulous.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. And I'm delighted to be in the studio with incredible life coach and marriage coach, Naomi Stonier, based in Petersfield.
I am.
Based in, but we'll travel.
Yes, I will.
And you do quite a lot of online networking as well, don't you?
Yes, I do. Yeah, I'm on socials, LinkedIn, Facebook all the time. Free lives, got free download, free guide. I hope you'll share it with people at the end.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. Don't be shy to Google Naomi Stonier. So Naomi, we left off the show. You were telling us about how you got into the wonderful world of life coaching, helping hundreds of people navigate, you know, old belief systems, helping people with emotional intelligence. And just really just building better relationships, would you say?
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's really interesting, isn't it? Because if you get stuff sorted in your personal life, when it comes to the business, things tend to have a transformational effect as well. And yeah. I just wondered if we could spend a bit of time just maybe discussing some of the common problems that you see. No doubt they'll resonate with the listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're on, this is a radio show about business. And so what, you know, I love working with entrepreneurs. They really benefit from this work. And one of the common issues for entrepreneurs is they're overworking. Mm. They're doing too much and they're doing everything. And this has a bad effect. This is not good in business, and it's definitely not good in your marriage. It causes people a lot of problems in their marriage. And this one understanding that changed everything for me is that if you have a problem you cannot solve, no matter how hard you try, you need to get curious about this. And the answer is that it is meeting your needs. Okay, so the brain's only job is to keep you safe, to protect you. Okay, it's always looking after you. So if you keep doing something and you can't solve it, it's because it's benefiting you in some way. Now, it's really hard to understand what do you mean? I don't want to overwork. I don't want to do everything. It feels awful. Okay. And so what I go to is this really simple framework that helps you separate, because when you're in it, you don't have any
awareness.
You can't
see the wood through the trees.
That's it. When emotion is high, intelligence is low. And I've got a really simple little framework that changed my life. And you can put what you're dealing with into this framework and get a bit of distance from it and get a bit of objectivity.
I'm so curious right now. Tell us.
It's my favourite framework. So it's based on human need psychology. And Matt, life coaching is so brilliant at taking, you know, there's decades of research in human need psychology. Life coaching is so genius at taking that and distilling it down into something really simple that you and I can just use on the go in our daily lives, okay? And so this is human needs psychology is based on the understanding that humans must meet certain needs, okay? So these are not desires or wants, but they are profound needs that drive every choice and decision you make. And life coaching has boiled them down into six needs. And I'm going to run through them for you now.
Go for it.
So you got the need for certainty, the need to know you can be safe, free from danger, have a roof over your head, know where your next meal's coming from. Right? It's a basic human need.
It makes complete sense. Yeah.
Yeah. But you get then the next need, you can go to the opposite. Uncertainty, okay? Might make more sense if I say variety. So we all say we love adventure, we love surprise and excitement, right?
But yeah? Too much is not a good thing.
Well, the variety you don't like, you call problems. Oh. Okay, so this is a need that we've got to meet. We've got to meet the need for variety. So if you're not meeting in a way that serves you, you might meet it in a way that doesn't serve you by having a problem you can't solve.
Okay,
so certainty reassures us, but too much certainty and we get bored. Mm-hmm. So you have to, you go to variety, because variety makes you feel alive.
Spice of life.
Exactly. So we'll do some crazy stuff to meet that need for variety, okay? So you've got the third need, the need for significance. I must know that I matter. I must know that I'm wanted, I'm needed. You've got the need for love and connection. A baby must be held or it won't survive. This is a basic human need. But for so many of us, love is too scary. So we settle for connection.
Right.
Okay. So it takes courage to love at a high level, right? This is why we can get a bit sort of stuck in the friend zone in our marriages. So these four needs you must meet to stay alive, okay? So if you don't meet them in ways that serve you, you will meet them in ways that don't serve you, that don't feel good. So this is the root of the behaviours that don't feel good, but we can't stop doing. So you think about when you do something and you think, why did I do that? Or you see someone you know doing something crazy, what are they doing? Or that celebrity who has it all does something crazy. It's because they're meeting their needs. Yeah? Good people do bad stuff to meet their needs. Okay, so this really helps us understand each other. So they're the four basic ones, but you've got two more. I like to call them the needs of the soul, the need for growth, the need to grow mentally, physically, spiritually, intellectually. If you're not growing, you're stagnating, you're dying. And the need for contribution, the need to go beyond yourself and give to others. And this need can meet all the others. But Matt, it's important to understand that we want balance in these needs. There's no one good need or bad need. So too much contribution, too much saving the world, you neglect your family, you neglect your health. Not enough significance, you don't say, hey, I matter. Yeah, and you need to be able to say that in relationships. I matter. You need to stand up for yourself. You don't want to be a doormat. It's no good for your relationships.
How do you, and when you say it out loud, you sort of think all these boxes, yeah, they're kind of there, but it's how do people get the balance? How do they know if they've got enough of each of the boxes, if you so to speak?
Yeah, well, do you want me to give you an example of how I used the needs to understand, you know, I was an overworker.
Yeah.
I was overworking. I was too busy. Okay. And no matter what I tried, I couldn't solve it. So I would like change my job. I would get a cleaner. I would do all this stuff to sort of stop having this experience of overwhelm and doing everything. But no matter what I did, it didn't change. And I thought it was my husband's fault. If he did more, I wouldn't be overwhelmed, okay? So it's very normal that you think like this. And it wasn't until I understood the needs and started looking, okay, how am I meeting my needs? Is that serving me or not? So you can go through the needs and say, am I meeting this in a way that serves me or a way that doesn't serve me? So how I was meeting my needs at a very high level with overwhelm was the need for certainty, okay? This was a really familiar feeling for me. I was very good at feeling overwhelmed, okay? It was very familiar. So there's my certainty.
And so that almost became your safe place, although it was quite a destructive place to be.
It's a familiar place. So the brain loves familiar, so there's certainty. So even if it harms you, if it's meeting your need, you keep doing it. This is why we're overeating, we're overdrinking, and we're overspending. And so, you know, the need for uncertainty, the need for variety. Well, when I was lying in bed at 5 a.m. spinning over my to-do list and spinning in anxiety about it, and then once I'd had enough of that anxiety, flipping into anger, resentment, whose fault was it that I had all this to do, yeah?
Yep.
Oh, boy, there was a lot of variety in that sort of spin of emotion.
It's crazy, isn't it? And when you talk about overwork, you know, people, it's almost like working too much is kind of celebrated.
Exactly. You have nailed it. The busyness hierarchy. So, you know, the needs is one aspect, but it's an identity, a form of identity, and it's celebrated. You know, overspending, overdrinking, overeating, they're frowned upon. Overworking is celebrated.
Yeah, it's
kind of, so there's significance.
Yes, and it all kind of ties in, doesn't it?
Yeah, but the last one was really hard for me to get, Matt. Love and connection. How on earth does this need?
Where do you even start?
Well, it took me a while to get it. Thank God I had a coach who helped me. And how I met the need for love and connection through my pattern of overwhelm was it was only when I was at breaking point did I stop. It was only when I got ill or too tired to physically move my body, I'll crawl into bed, put on the Netflix and eat the ice cream. And there's your form of love and connection, low-grade love and connection. So once I understood, it got me in control of it. Before, when I thought it was my husband, I had to change him to stop feeling overwhelmed. Well, we can't control other people. So this got This got me taking responsibility and gave me a framework to separate from this, and then I could break the pattern.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
And how is it when you sort of work on this stuff with, you know, not just business owners, but, you know, what kind of impact does it have? You know, for instance, if there's problems in the business, because some of these things apply. They apply to business, but also your personal life. It almost seems like they're transferable skills in a crazy kind of way.
It's completely symbiotic. You will have learnt this. I learnt it. I grew up with overworking and doing everything. So I learnt it. And it showed up in my business. It was really counterproductive in business. So you started a business not to work 100 hours a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, you started a business but to be your own boss and enjoy your life while making money. So, you know, it's devastating. There's a financial consequence. This is not a productive way to work. But also you're missing out on your family life. You're passing on terrible skills to your kids. You know, you're passing on the habits to your kids.
Yeah, it's one of those things, isn't it? And no doubt, do you find sometimes people might project these behaviours as well? Do you sometimes
see
that?
How do you mean?
As in, I don't know if they've got a particular bad habit, you know, because they say, don't they, especially as a business owner, you know, lead from the front.
Yeah.
But if they've got kind of all of these different behaviours, and actually that creates a culture.
Yeah.
That's actually probably dysfunctional as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, staff turnover. I mean, I always help people understand the benefit to you is just so massive. When you believe your business is doing this to you, you're going to hate your business, yeah?
It's going to be like a ball and chain, isn't it? Oh no, I've got to go into work again.
Yeah, you know, and also, if you believe the business is doing this to you, you try and fix the wrong things. And so, you know, that's gonna, it's definitely gonna have, well, for one, you're gonna burn out, you can't sustain it, maybe business goes under completely.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because no doubt there are thousands of people out there that would benefit from this kind of coaching.
Yeah.
But their immediate response would be, I don't need a life coach.
Yeah.
What do you say to those people?
I give out huge amounts of free content. You know, you can be helped for free. I am giving away lots of content all day long on social media. I'm doing free trainings. I've got free downloads you can use. I'm posting every day, so you can get helped for free. Many of us can take that information and get the help we need, but some of us need help with implementing.
And this actually leads us on to the next point about, you know, what does a good coach actually do? And you said the word in the week, which was accountability.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely if you want that. I prefer to talk about implementing, okay? This is all a Google click away, but knowledge is only power if you implement.
Sure,
and being
consistent with it, I suppose. Yeah.
So it's a coach is walking alongside you, pointing out the rabbit holes, pointing out the dead ends, okay? Every time you wander off the path, because, you know, this work is not straightforward. You try, you fail, you go again. And a coach is every time you wander off the path, guiding you back onto the path. The coach is cheering you on every step of the way. You know, working with a coach is the quickest way to get where you want to go. And therefore, it's the cheapest way. You know, the most expensive way to learn is through life experience. Yeah. This is not a dress rehearsal. You know, if you get to your result as quick as possible, you know, you can compound those results for the rest of your life.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. In part three, we're going to be talking about some of the challenges that you faced along the way, not just in terms of leading up to you becoming an incredible life coach, marriage coach, but obviously setting up a business. Because we were talking earlier in the week, you know, you provide a service for your clients and you have to put your life coach hat on, but then of course you're also a business owner in your own right, and you have to run that business, you have to promote the business.
Never planned it.
No, and again, you know, there are books you can read, but actually there isn't a guaranteed route to success. It's about trial and error, isn't it?
Well, I got into coaching because I love coaching. I love helping people. I believe so deeply in these skills. I am passionate. You know that, Matt. But selling my services, oh my goodness. It's you know, the marketing, you know, Matt, you know what, us business owners get in such a pickle with the marketing. And so, you know, working on my relationships and transforming my relationships and healing wider family relationships I never believed could be healed was the first transformation. But learning to sell was the second
transformation. It's like a whole other skill set.
Oof.
Isn't it?
It's terrifying.
Well, look, hold that thought. We're going to be getting into some of these challenges that you faced along the way, and perhaps you can share some of your tips on how you've overcome that.
Yeah.
That would be really good.
Absolutely.
So we're going to take a short break, but don't go away. We'll be back for part three after this.
Live and local. Voice FM.
Let's hear more from Ian at Station Motors.
I think it's important to have a family business. My customers relate to it. I've been doing cars for people and now I'm doing their sons' cars. My daughter works in reception and my son's nearly a fully qualified accountant. He does my bookwork, both very good drivers. I used to walk to school past his garage. It was a petrol station back then. So I ended up buying the garage off that family, you know. So I like to think I've brought my family into that family business.
Station Motors Woolston by the Itchen Bridge.
This is the sound of exercise when it's made fun. It's called VisoSport, and it started in Southampton. You meet up, you play fun games, you exercise, you laugh, you keep fit. It's for people of all abilities. Visit visosport.net or search for VisoSport in Meetup and have fun getting fit.
Southampton's Voice FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM, and I'm delighted to be in the studio with the incredible Naomi Stonier, who is a life coach / marriage coach. And we've been chatting about your business and kind of how you got into it, and it's really interesting, you know, some of the common problems that you see and some of the strategies and I suppose the coping mechanisms and the different frameworks that people can sort of use to basically improve their lives,
yeah,
make life run a bit smoother.
Yeah,
would you say we
got to normalize the messy human experience. When we normalize it, we can neutralize it, and then we can just do really simple stuff. But we stack it up, we layer it up, we get so tangled up in sort of embarrassment and worry, there's something wrong with me, something wrong with you. No, it's just, that's just being human.
Absolutely. Well, I want to delve into some of the challenges that you faced along the way setting up your own business, because as we know with this show, I want to try and inspire people. If there's somebody out there that's maybe got a great idea for a product or a service, or they're thinking about making the leap and going self-employed, yes, if we can inspire that person, then as far as I'm concerned, happy days. But before we do that, we were just talking in the break about some of the other common problems that you see, and you said communication crops up quite a bit.
Oh, well, communication is everything. So currently what we are doing is believing each other and making us feel the way we do. And then also what we're doing, this is so human, we prioritise winning the argument over connecting with each other. So it's just very human. When emotion is high, intelligence is low, and rational thinking goes out the window, and we spiral into winning the argument and proving our point. And in marriage, when the pressure of life is coming at you, it's very easy to forget you are on the same side. And you can shift your communication to talk in a way that prioritizes connecting, so the two of you can be on the same side and deal with the problem together.
Absolutely. That sort of need to kind of win the argument, is that born from perhaps their competitive side is coming out?
Not at all. It's just so human under pressure to get very black and white. You know, you think about it, you're working, the kids, you're sick, you've got aging parents, you know, there's so much that we're just so overwhelmed and overloaded in modern life. And it is very normal to just get very black and white. And we get into these pointless debates about whose way is the right way to do it, rather than it's just very simple to understand, hey, when I'm under pressure, I go here. And when you're under pressure, you go there. What are we going to do about it? How should we meet in the middle? So we're not making each other right or wrong. We're saying, look, this is just what happens to us. How do we want to come together over this? So it's just a different, it's a simple shift in the way you talk.
And when you, so if you're presented and there's this problem and they can see that, you know, they are looking at it from different angles. So you've acknowledged the problem.
Yeah.
You can see the problem. But the next question is, well, how do you overcome that? How do you fix that? Have you got certain sort of like strategies, tactics? Yeah. How does it work?
Yeah. Well, this is, it can be very, very subtle. So, you know, you do have to give this a go more than once. This is not more than done.
It takes a bit of practice.
Yeah. It's subtle. It takes a bit of practice. What you've got to do is see where you're presenting your opinion as a fact. So remember I talked about those belief systems, okay? So you've created this belief system and it feels like the truth. And this stuff is super sneaky because this can seem very reasonable. Mm. You know, that's just the way you do it. It's reasonable. You turn up on time. It's reasonable. So it feels like a fact. It's not. It's an opinion. It's based on your rules, your values and your beliefs, a lot of which you don't realise you have. So when you present your opinion as a fact, so I'll give you an example. The house is a tip. Yeah, the house is a tip.
Yep.
It feels very real and true to me. The house is a tip. It isn't. It's an opinion. One person's palace is another person's dump. So when you switch from talking in facts, because then we can have I can say the house is a tip. We can have a big argument about whether it's a tip or not. Doesn't solve anything. So instead, hey, the house feels really messy to me. I'm stressed and I'm tired and I get sensitive about the way the house is. Can you help me? Can you help me out? I need this to be cleared away to feel okay. Can you help me? It's a very different way of talking. And then someone can say, oh, I see you're not feeling okay. And this is how I can help you.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because it's almost like the way you frame it, almost kind of, it's not what you say, but it's kind of almost how you say it. And like you say, with that example, that's great because you're kind of saying, when you say, oh, the house is a tip, the other person probably feels like, well, hang on, are you holding me accountable? Yeah. Are you saying that it's because of me?
Yes. So they feel the blame.
Yes.
And they defend.
Yes. Yeah, straight away into defense mechanism.
That's it.
No, it's not.
Yeah. And so we ping pong, defend, attack, justify. And we never actually solve the problem.
Yeah, you're getting further and further away from actually just getting the problem fixed.
And when you're tired and you're overwhelmed, you've had a bad week, you know, that spirals. And then we use these as opportunities to vent our emotions that we're trying to hold on to.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, we were talking earlier in the show about how you've kind of been there and done it. Like you've witnessed firsthand, you know, the sort of the coaching side of it. It was transformational for you.
Yeah.
When you're talking to entrepreneurs, when you're talking to clients, whoever it might be, do they value the fact that you've kind of been through that process personally?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it really helps them to know that. And I'll constantly share my story because we layer it up. We have feelings about our feelings. We're struggling in our marriage and we're so worried that there's something wrong with us. And to hear someone say, hey, I've been there, I've been where you are, and there's nothing wrong with you, you know, this is common, this is normal. I say, hey, I see this all the time. It's okay.
Yeah, it's all right.
That's a big part of it.
That's interesting. Let's talk about some of the challenges you faced in setting up your business then, because you said, you know, starting your own business was great, it was exciting. And then the realization hit that, hang on a minute, you've got to go and do a bit of sales.
Yeah, it was the hardest thing I've ever learned to do. I didn't get into this I just want to coach people. Mm. But I went on the journey to understand that selling is coaching. That no one's going to get helped if I don't sell to people.
If you don't put yourself out there.
Yeah. I went on the journey to understand the importance of someone paying because it creates leverage. I mean, I've done free coaching and people devalue it. They don't take it so seriously.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. I don't want to just sort of quickly gloss over that because, yeah, the sort of devaluing your product and service before you've even had a chance to sit down with someone.
Yeah.
Because it's that's a, as a sales tactic goes, it's almost like a go-to, isn't it? It's a thing that, you know, oh, yeah, just give a discount.
Yeah, you're devaluing.
But you're on the back foot, aren't you? Almost immediately.
Well, no, not so much that. I'd be happy to do pro bono coaching, but the people don't get helped. They don't get as much help.
Sure.
When you pay, and maybe you stretch yourself a little. For me, my experience was of investing in coaching was terrifying. I had never invested in myself, and I'd never, you know, it was a terrifying experience. It created so much leverage, Matt. I showed up for every single coaching call. I was going to rinse every penny's worth of value out of that coaching call. And in a year, my life did a 180. So the payment is an important, we've got skin in the game. We've got leverage. Yeah. We've got, this is an accountability. I've spent money now. It formalizes it, and you show up and you pay attention.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's, yeah, skin in the game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is massively important.
So that helped me to sell. And then the journey I had to go on with selling was, you know, what really resonates for me about you, Matt, is you talk about you're teaching your clients not to chase sales, but attract people in. So I don't actually do any selling. You know, I've done the work to understand I'm not selling. What I do is I give out a huge amount of free value. If you get help for free, happy days. I just want everyone to have these skills. But there's 10% of people who need help with implementing. And they're the people who come to me and say, hey, I love your stuff. And they trust me because I've given them so much free content and they are ready to pay me. And these are people I've never met. They come to me over the internet. You know, I do network as well. A lot of my business comes from there. But yeah, people pay me several £1,000 over the internet.
I was going to ask you that. You know, it was your business just sort of limited to the local area, but it doesn't sound like
it's global.
Is it?
Yeah. I coach, I've got South Africans I'm working with right now, Americans. Yeah. You just need to speak English to work with me.
Sure. There were these two key questions which we were talking about earlier in the week, which kind of almost are a good starting point. And it was, I think one of them was, what do you want? So defining the goal.
Yes, yeah.
And then there was the other question as well, which was why?
Yeah. So we, you know, if you were anything like I was back in the day, you could talk in triplicate about your marriage problems. Because this is what we're programmed to do. We're problem focused. It's a human survival programming. We're problem focused. But when my coach asked me, what do you want? I was stumped. Can answer them. So if you don't know what you want, you're not clear on what you want, you can never get there.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you're going to be chasing your tail.
Yeah. So what do you want? And then why do you want it is the emotional juice. The why, you know, for me, my why is I'm going to share these skills. I want to create a new legacy for the next generation. That gets me turning up every single day. So that's my why. It's massive.
So it's really finding out what that why is. And then do you kind of reinforce that? Do you sort of write it on a mirror somewhere so you see it every day? How does it work?
Just all day, every day, I'm in every single bit of work I'm doing, I'm connecting to my experience, you know, what I'm teaching my child. My child is going to learn. It's going to have a very different experience to me and my client's experience. And every day I'm communicating that. Yeah, I mean, it's my favorite thing to do. I'm communicating that in all my marketing every day.
You're so passionate about this as a topic. You know, if people could see in the studio now, you're smiling and it just comes so easy. You clearly know your stuff.
Yeah.
And of course, we touched on earlier in the show that you invest in yourself.
Yeah.
Which is crucial, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can't ask anyone else to invest in themselves if I'm not willing to. You know, I've shared with you, Matt, I've spent 100K on my development. So, and that's my development as a life, a marriage coach and as a business owner.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and there's a great return on investment.
Yeah, for sure. So if there's anyone out there that's, you know, listening in and they think, do you know what, I need some help. What should they do?
They should type my name into Google, Naomi Stonier. My contact details are there. There is also a huge amount of content that I have put out over the years. But yeah, my contact details are there. My phone number's there. My email address is there. Send me a message. I offer a complimentary session. So I'll spend an hour with you. We'll take a look at where you are now in your relationship, where you want to be in your relationship, and how coaching with me will bridge a gap between the two. So it's a complimentary session. I'll do that with anyone.
Oh, fantastic. Well, brilliant. Well, look, Naomi, it's been amazing having you in the studio. We're nearly out of time, but just quickly, what's next?
Group programs, a digital membership, getting this. I mean, I'm one-to-one right now. I'm helping one person at a time. But yeah, it will be a program. It'll be a membership. Excellent. Of some kind.
Well, I'm looking forward to maybe checking in six to 12 months, something like that. Maybe we'll do follow-up show.
Oh, accountability.
Yeah.
Set a goal for me here.
Well, look, if you've enjoyed this show, Naomi, thank you so much for coming to the studio. Best of luck with the business.
Thank you so much for having me, Matt.
You're welcome. And if you like that, then I'll be back again next week with another fabulous guest. You've been listening to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM.
Voice FM.
Voice FM.
Don't put in your recycling bin greasy pizza boxes. And don't put in your recycling bin dirty tins and dirty plastic bottles.
If any of your recycling is dirty, greasy or wet, your whole bin could be rejected. So follow this golden rule. Keep your recycling clean, dry and loose, and remember,
don't put in your recycling bin greasy pizza boxes.
This message is supported by Voice FM, and if you want to know more about recycling in Southampton, visit voicefmradio.co.uk/recycling.